So we hear this bargaining like a flea market, a pawn shop, this conversation between Abraham and the Lord as God is coming to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham stands in the gap, interceding, trying to save that city and the people within it. And without going into the details, it's good to remember why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed and what the outcry against them was. Deep moral depravity, which covered everyone in the cities. A violation of the natural law and what God's ordained plan is for the human person and their bodies. Complete depravity led to the destruction. And we are blind in this day and age if we can't look around to see that we're no better off. Someone once said that if we are not held accountable for our sins against nature in this day, then God owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. We're no better. But we see this beautiful gift of intercessory prayer and persevering prayer, persistent prayer. And that's what Jesus said about the man in the gospel. If he won't get up because of their friendship, he'll get up because of his persistence. And that word persistence is like this shamelessly begging. Because I know who I'm asking. I know the person to whom I'm talking, so I don't mind making a fool out of myself to keep asking and asking and asking, trusting that I can appeal to our relationship so that I can get what I need. This is the relationship that Abraham had with God the Father and why he could keep bugging him. 50, 40, 35, 20, 10. Like, come on, give me something. Any of you who have raised teenagers, I'm sure you've had that conversation about allowances or curfew or whatever. This bartering, this begging from one side to the other. And as a parent, you're willing to give an ear to that conversation because you know the person to who is speaking to you. There's a relationship there. And so when the disciples, the friends of Jesus, saw him praying in a certain place, Lord, Master, teach us how to pray. They knew how to pray. They were Jews. They had learned the Psalms. They knew the Shema. They knew how to pray. So why would they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? This is where we can use our imagination. A properly formed imagination as we dive into the scriptures and put ourselves in these scenes to see what must have been going on. What could they have seen in the person of Jesus that said, I want that? Maybe you come to Mass and the only time you ever sing is in the shower. Then you come to Mass and you hear one of our cantors singing beautifully and you're like, I want that. Or the pianist, or some of you out there in the driving range, and you see that guy three boxes ahead of you, like, I want that swing. There's something beautiful about what you have, and I want it too. That must have been what the disciples saw, because why else would they say, teach us how to pray, since they knew how to pray already? Have you ever imagined what that prayer was like between the Son and the Father? A deep, intimate conversation that I'm sure some of you spouses have had with your spouse. Just this fruitful, joy-filled conversation. I want that. This is what Jesus is inviting us into. This is what Jesus expects of us. This isn't something reserved for the holy people who live in a hermitage or in a convent or a monastery somewhere. This isn't for the priests and the deacons who've promised to pray every day. Through your baptism that St. Paul spoke about in the second reading, you have been given access to the Father, and the Father expects this from you. Do you expect it from yourself? Have you asked Jesus to teach you how to pray? Have you sat in the chapel with a blank mind or a distracted mind? Have you sat down with your kids and tried to pray and feeling like you're completely inadequate? Or maybe you don't pray with your kids, or you don't pray with your spouse because you feel like you don't know how? Have you asked Jesus, teach me to pray? I want what you have. Have you spent time in the scriptures knowing that Jesus prays to the Father? And as you spend time with the scriptures, with the written word, that you will have an insight into the heart of the Father revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The confidence that Abraham had, the confidence that the psalmist could write, when I cried to you, you answered. On the day I cried out to you, you answered me. Can you say that? Do you want to be able to say that? Have you fallen in love with Jesus? Have you surrendered your life under his lordship and the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you shameless in your crying out to the Lord for whatever it is that you need? But to go further, have you done so and been disappointed? Maybe you have tried and you got an unanswered prayer. We had a funeral earlier today. This lady, stricken with cancer, lots of prayers, lots of intercessors going on, seemed not to work. I mean, I'm sure we all have stories. So what does Jesus mean when he says, when you knock, it will be opened, when you seek, you will find, when you ask, it will be given? He tells us that the rest of this, which father of you, as wicked as you are, would not give your child the things that they need? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's what you need. You need the Holy Spirit. A good job, the perfect spouse, or a good enough spouse maybe. Whatever. Whatever it is that you're asking for, that's only a foretaste of the perfection that your heart desires and will find only in the Holy Spirit. Only through the grace given to you in your baptism, renewed, restored in the sacraments of confession and the Holy Eucharist, vivified through a life of prayer and a life of charity, as your heart is opened to the reality of what this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ can be. And it's supposed to be. Lord, teach us how to pray. Father. He could have given any other description. He could have given any other. He chose that family relationship to reveal the heart of our Creator God. Father. The Father who provides, the Father who creates, the Father who protects. That's the one that we're reaching out to. That's the one whose door we're knocking on. That's the one we're shamelessly crying out to. Each one of us, made in the image of God, which means we're made in the image of that perfect relationship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the relationship. That's the image in which we are made. And it's the destiny for which we're looking. We're desiring this relationship with the Father. Many of us have experienced broken relationships in our lives and our families. Many of us are wounded and perhaps fearful of relating to God as Father because we have been hurt too many times. Jesus Christ obliterated the bonds that separate us from God the Father, St. Paul said. We never have a reason to be afraid to approach our Father. asking for that grace. If you're in this state of grace and you approach the Holy Eucharist this evening, ask Him for the courage to cry out, Father, trusting that He will hear you, He will open the door, and He will give you everything that you need.